Nick and I were talking before the service began about the scripture reading. How long should it be? On the screen it says chapter 1. And then you read through and notice that there are 33 verses there. And by the time Nick was done, we'd need to get on to communion. So we decided, let's just read verses 1 through 12. And then he read verse 12 and thought that was a lousy ending to the scripture reading. Well, that is a lousy ending, isn't it? It's not the end of the chapter, but I wanted to just let you sit with 12 for a minute. Because what we're doing in this little series is the book of Proverbs, and we're just going to handpick just a couple principles from the book, and we're going to see throughout the book what that what the text says about that concept. And boy, really how the book begins, Solomon is saying to all of us, you can choose to live a wise life. And if you live a wise life, good things happen. Great results come when you speak kindly to your spouse, not like a drip, 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 nagging, destroying, defeating, tearing down, drip, drip. Like, good things happen when you're kind to your spouse. Good things come when you invest in your children. Good things come when you save your money instead of blowing it every time you get paid. Good things come to you when you don't hang out with wicked people and become like them. Certainly, the New Testament will say to us, we have to be around people who are lost. And at the same time, bad company corrupts good morals, but at the same time, we need to go make disciples of all the nations. So both of those commands are in the scripture, both of those directions are given to us, and we need to be able to wisely be with the lost and still affect them without them affecting us in a wicked way, that their lifestyle becomes our lifestyle. And really, Nick, where we ended in verse 12 is, if you're going to throw your lot in with wicked people, it's going to end in death. That's not a happy ending. We love storytelling. We love happy endings. And it's not a very happy ending when you become like the wicked. It's a bloodbath. It's a sorrowful pit of an ending. And God doesn't want that for you. God doesn't want that for anyone. So the point of the book of Proverbs, as you'll see on the screen, is really our sermon title today. Today is sort of an introduction to the whole situation. Let the wise hear and increase. God wants us to hear these words of his, let them sit within us, and let them increase our godly living and our the effect of a godly life. And so let's think towards hearing these words and increasing. In letter A, I'm just going to comb through chapter 1, give you a couple points of highlight, and show you throughout the rest of the book where those concepts are developed further. So if Proverbs chapter 1 is sort of like a outline of the book, those points that are just referenced in chapter 1 get developed fully in the rest of the book. And so here in verse 3, we see a great principle. The point of this book is so that you, verse 3, receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. So there are a whole host of purposes for this book. Verses 1 through 6 give us many of the purposes of this book. I wanted to camp out on this verse 3. All right, we want to receive instruction in wise behavior. Because not one of us have arrived yet. We are all growing in our wisdom. And so wisdom is really doing what you learn. Notice verse 3, to receive instruction in wise behavior. Behavior. Behavior is doing. Behavior is living. Behavior is things we put our hands, our mouth, our eyes, our minds, our feet to go doing. Behavior is action. And wisdom isn't just gaining information. No, wisdom is living information. Now notice the end of verse 3. So what is wise behavior? Well, he gives you three examples. Righteousness, doing the right thing by other people. Righteousness is thinking about somebody else and doing the right thing, the thing they need, the thing a respectful person would do. And so a righteous life is a life that looks towards the needs of others and rightly interacts with them. You see, I'm going to do right by you. I'm going to do good by you. Justice. Justice is fairness at law. Justice is making sure, looking out for people that are being victimized and elevating them, representing them, speaking up for them, defending them. Defending the cause of the widow and the orphan and the stranger in your land, as Deuteronomy would talk about that. Justice. Justice is we are all in a community, in a state, in a country, and we have to put our own action into making sure that the right things are done and that those that are vulnerable are treated kindly, fairly, justly. Justice is not allowing the offender to repeat their offense. That crime has its punishment. And so, you know, whatever level we are at, we are ensuring that that happens. We are holding government accountable to ensure that they do the just thing and speaking up to government on behalf of those that are poorly treated. That's what justice is. And equity. Equity is elevating others around you. You know, when there is a rising tide, all ships go up, right? And so we want everyone to get ahead. A wise person thinks about how others are benefited, not at your expense, but in a way that all people rise together and that I'm not getting ahead by taking advantage of somebody else. Equity, that's not good.
How about that? Just gonna stick to the pulpit. So equity, again, is just treating people equally, treating people fairly. All right, so as we learn knowledge, the beginning of verse 3, to receive instruction, I begin living that instruction. That's the point of verse 3. That's the point, one of the points of this book, is that we are learning in order to go apply. That's why I think our Sunday school for adults is such a valuable time, not just in Proverbs, but in wherever we are in the scripture. We talk about it from the pulpit, and then we all go to class and learn how do we live that out and talk about our experiences of having lived out what we've learned today. So that all of us are thinking through, all right, I've received instruction from the pulpit. Now how do I go do that? And we're all talking about it together. Iron sharpening iron, idea sharpening idea. In chapter 10, we see that, and yeah, let's do that real quick. Go to chapter 10. I just want to show you a couple verses there about living out what we're learning. Chapter 10, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is grief to his mother. Ill-gotten gains do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. You heard righteousness back in chapter 1, verse 3. Here, righteousness, verse 3 of chapter 10. The Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger, but he will thrust aside the craving of the wicked. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Whoever gathers in the summer is a son who acts wisely. He who sleeps in a harvest is a son who acts shamefully. Every one of those verses that I just read so far, we'll skip the rest for the sake of time, is all about living out what we're learning. A wise person lives what they've learned. And so there are a lot of knowledgeable Christians that are just plain foolish, right? Because they're learning, but they're not living. They're receiving information, but they're not applying that information. Wisdom is all about putting it into action. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 1 and turn now your attention to verse 5 as we get to letter B. Here is really where we see the thrust of our sermon title, the wise hear and they increase. Look at verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. So we want you to hear, but really what we want you to do is increase. I want you to increase in learning. I want you to increase in living that out. And I want you to increase, all right, there's a consequence for our behavior. And if I do good behavior, wise behavior, diligent behavior, I work hard in doing what I've learned, there's going to be a positive consequence for that kind of life. And there's going to be a negative, a loss kind of lifestyle for the one who ignores what they've learned. So the growth never stops. A wise man, notice verse 5, a wise man hears and increases in learning. So this doesn't say the simple person hears and increases in learning. Sure, a young student hears something for the first time. They are wowed and dazzled by that information. They move on to the next grade level and the next grade level and the next grade level. Then they graduate. Okay, but a wise man does the same thing. Once you are already wise, if you hear, you will increase even more. That's what Solomon is saying here in Proverbs chapter 1, that you will continue to grow if you continue to listen and receive, and you will increase. So my challenge and encouragement to you is, let's put our full attention into these lessons that Solomon gives to us throughout the book. In chapter 9, let's go over there real quick and just see a little highlight of this principle in Proverbs 9, verses 9 through 11. And just notice in chapter 9, the contrast between the person who decides to listen versus the person that decides to check out. All right, chapter 9, verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So do you hear what the author here is saying? That wise people receive instruction. You know, how many of you perfectly deploy all of your work tasks at work, or students, you're learning at school, you perfectly apply yourself to every part of your work life, your student life? How many of us are A-plus workers, A-plus students? Anybody? Okay, I'm looking around. I'm not seeing anybody. What does that mean? That we all have things we can grow in, right? And if you're wise, you're going to say to yourself, my boss, my fellow employee, when they take me aside, when they explain things a little more, I have an opportunity to get better at what I do good already. You see, I'm wise, but I'm going to listen to instruction and become even wiser. There was this man at my previous church. He couldn't hold a job for more than 6 weeks at most. He would always move on. Because every time his boss pulled him aside to explain something, he would tell his boss off. And then his boss would fire him, and he'd move on to the next. This is not a wise kind of lifestyle, right? Number one, you can't tell your boss off. Number two, you know, you're not wise if you aren't able to receive instruction. And so pride often holds us back from becoming even wiser. Well, I know everything. No one can explain anything to me. I got it all already. Well, you're never going to grow with that kind of attitude. So the growth should never stop. Since we're already in chapter 9, I want to show you from our next point this idea in chapter 1, but also here in chapter 9, this idea of commit to get busy growing. Because if you don't get busy growing, you have decided to get busy dying. All right, that's a little play on words from, what is it? Shawshank Redemption. Get busy living or get busy dying. But mine is get busy growing. Notice in verse 1 of chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat my food, drink the wine that I have mixed. Forsake your foolishness and live. Proceed in the way of understanding. And so there's an invitation to grow. She is inviting the city. Lady Wisdom is calling out to everyone. If you want to grow, come and learn. It's an invitation to start your class. Whatever area of wisdom you lack, whether it's financial, relationship, work wisdom, just your household wisdom, whatever it is, admit it. Say, I'm simple in this area. I'm naive in this area. Verse 4, whoever is naive, let him turn in here. Okay, that's me. On this subject, that's me. I'm ready to learn. I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to increase in my understanding. The opposite is also true in chapter 9. Go down to verse 13. So while verse 1 is Lady Wisdom, look in verse 13. The woman of foolishness is boisterous. She is naive. She knows nothing. She sits in the doorway of her house on a seat at the high places of the city, calling to those who pass by, who are making their path straight. Whoever is naive, simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he who does not, but he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol, the place of death. So Nick, that's where you left off back in chapter 1, verse 12, that the way of foolishness ends in death. Well, that's exactly where chapter 9 ends. Chapter 9, verse 13, begins with a woman of foolishness, that this is Lady Folly, the Lady of Foolishness. And she's crying out to people, hey, come on over, let's have a party, let's party. And yeah, but we're never going to grow. We're never going to change. We're never going to develop. We're never going to apply what we've learned. And we're going to end, verse 18, in death. Her guests are in the depths of death. That's awful. And so we got to get busy growing. Let's listen to Lady Wisdom in this book, rather than get busy dying in the depths of Sheol. We saw that back in chapter 1 as Nick read it for us, but go back to chapter 1, verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are graceful, a graceful wreath to adorn your head, ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. And so even in chapter 1, you had a microcosm of what chapter 9 develops in full, that there are two voices. There are two voices, two little figures on your shoulders. One's red with a pitchfork. Okay, not really. But it's Lady Folly, foolishness, saying, do this stupid thing. It's really going to be fun. Let's go do this stupid thing. And then this little white guy on the other side saying, no, you know, like Jiminy Cricket, let's do something wonderful. Let's go build your life. Let's go get ahead. Let's go work real hard and grow. And so that's what we see in verse 8 and 9, the wisdom of mom and dad's instruction, the wisdom of Lady Wisdom, of God himself, of Solomon, the author of this book. And then from verses 10 through 18, the voice of foolishness crying out, it'll be fun, but it'll lead to destruction. In verses 20 through 33, a portion we did not read together, let's just read a couple verses, verse 20. This will be our final point, letter D. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates of the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O simple one, will you love simplicity? How long will scoffers delight themselves in scoffing? The fool hates knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. You neglected all my counsel. You did not want my reproof. I will even laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes on you like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all of my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them. The complacency of fools shall destroy them. So Lady Wisdom has a lot to say to us. She's got a lot of challenge, and she's warning of the ultimate conclusion of the path we choose to take. So we're standing at a fork in the road. I could go to fun foolishness, immediate gratification. And I'm not pointing at y'all. I'm pointing at the fork in my road. Or I could go to this direction and work hard and save up and invest in other people, and the end of that path is a happy path. But notice she spent the bulk of her time, Lady Wisdom, chiding those that disregarded her. I called out to all. I called out to all. But verse 24, you refused. You refused. You paid no attention. And there is a point at which God says, enough is enough. I tried and tried and tried, and this person did not listen to my voice. Genugt is genugt, right? Enough is enough. And God stops dealing with that individual. It breaks my heart, but he tried and tried and tried. And the end of that ends in death, destruction, waywardness. It shall destroy them, verse 32 ends. So though it might be hard to hear, and though it might be even harder to live it out, pay attention to it and don't give up on it and keep committing yourself to it and plow through. I want to grow. I want to get over my foolishness. I'm going to push through. I'm committed. I'm intense. I'm moving ahead. I'm going to listen to that voice of Lady Wisdom, and I'm not going to do whatever immediately gratifies me. How long, verse 22, will you love being simple-minded? No, grow. Commit yourself to grow. Don't turn away from this path of righteousness, this path of equity, this path of justice, this path of wisdom. Don't bail out on it. It will lead to bliss. It will lead to joy. It'll lead to contentment. It'll lead to personal satisfaction. It'll lead to the blessing on other people's lives as your cup runneth over. Other people around you will be impacted by the blessing of God on your life. And so don't turn away from it. Don't turn away from it, number one, because you know when you turn away from it, the end of the new path that you just chose, you bailed out on the right path, you're now on the bad path. You know where it ends, verse 24, it ends in destruction. Oh, don't bail out on the path that leads to life. Commit yourself to grow in wisdom. Now, verse 33, for those of us who have not turned away, who have stuck on this path, he who listens, compare that to verse 24, I called, but you refused. Verse 33, to him who listens to me, he shall live securely. He shall be at ease from the dread of evil. This doesn't mean that righteous people never face any problems. And this doesn't mean that wise people never find themselves in a predicament. But it means that you're creating gates and boundaries for it, that you're living securely and at ease, that you're not looking at evil coming your way, because it so rarely does. The righteous man may stumble seven times, but the Lord will lift him up. You see, when you're walking with the Lord, when you trip up, he's right there to get you back up again. But when you're running far from the Lord, he's not there to pick you up when you trip, right? So the path away from the Lord leads to destruction, verse 32. But when I'm walking with the Lord, growing in my wisdom, listening to his counsel, I have him at my side, or rather, I'm at his side. As he's walking, I'm at his side. And I can live securely, knowing he's with me, knowing his wisdom has rubbed off on me, knowing I can make good, godly, helpful, wise decisions that help other people around me. Don't turn your attention away from this. Go to chapter 4. We see this more broadly in these verses. I think this is a great embellishment of really what verse 33 was saying. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father. Give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me, and he said to me, Let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Don't forget. Don't turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear, my son, accept my sayings, and years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. So here, just a father is saying to a son, a parent is investing in a child. Hey, I used to be a kid, and my parents invested in me, and now you're a kid, and I'm your parent. I need to invest in you. And one day you're going to be a grown-up. You're going to be a mommy. You're going to be a daddy. And you're going to have to invest in your kids. And the beg of the parent to the child, The on bended knee with tears pleading for their child. Chase wisdom. Grab a hold of her. Never let her go. Wisdom is to be sought. And when you get it, drink it deep and keep on growing and keep on pursuing. Prize wisdom. Because when you prize it, verse 8, it will exalt you. If you want to increase, grab a hold of wisdom. Gain knowledge and go live that knowledge out in everyday life. And it will lift you up. If you embrace it and chase it, it will be yours. This is not unlike what the prophets say about God. Do you remember how the prophets say over and over, many of the prophets, seek him and you will find him if you seek with what? Your whole heart. You got to be all in or it's not going to be a gain to you. You got to throw your whole attention to it if you want to grow this way. And so whatever area of wisdom you need, it'll be yours if you focus on it. Laser beam focus. Don't let anything grab your attention. Go chase it. Don't turn away from it. And it'll be yours. So listen, over the next 7 days until we get back together, I want you to be thinking of one part of your life. Next week, I'm going to publish for you an index of the whole book of Proverbs, a theme index. So if you're struggling with your tongue, here are all the Proverbs on your tongue. If you're struggling with your finances, here's all the verses on finances. You're struggling with your romantic life, here's all the verses about that. You're struggling with your parenting, here's all the verses about that. And it'll be yours to go chase. But listen, this pulpit and this person can't make you wise in that category. You have to go run. I'll give you the tools. You got to go use the tools. You got to apply those verses to your life. And when you chase your wisdom and you chase your wisdom and where you're simple, you're going to grow in yours. As we all together are growing, we will be a brighter, kinder, more vibrant, more flourishing congregation that the world will be drawn to Christ as we grow in our wisdom. Chase it with all your might, friends. And be thinking about where you need to grow so that when you get that index, we'll all start growing together. Let's pray. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And as we think of just the simple things of how we speak to others, with what tone, with what content, with what hope and motivation, or whether it's in our romantic life, our spouse, our boyfriend, or girlfriend, whatever it might be, and we need some better godly advice. The world seems to have all sorts of advice for people chasing somebody else. And that path leads nowhere real fast. But Lord, we're chasing you. And as we do, as we grow in our wisdom, we'll grow in our romantic life. We'll grow in our financial life, our parenting life. We'll grow in our workplace performance because we're growing in wisdom, wherever it might be for each one of us. We all stumble in different ways and we all have different needs of the moment. And so we lay it all before you and we say, work your wonder in us. Would you, by your mercies, grow our wisdom as we relentlessly pursue it and grow in it? We would pray these things in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to continue to worship you as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. We have many other things to do this morning, and with all that we do, may we find great connection with you and great joy. So attune our hearts to yours as we sing. We pray in your name, Jesus.